This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, the weekend edition of Family Research Council's Washington Watch.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. I'm your host, David Salkeld, a constitutional conservative, husband, and homeschool dad. Coming up on this week's show, we'll take a look at one school board that is fighting back against Planned Parenthood. Also, we'll be joined by two women who are working to bring conservative values to the education system in a pair of liberal states. But first, earlier this month, Metro City Church, just south of Detroit, Michigan, announced that it would host an unashamed identity workshop created for 12 to 16-year-old girls struggling with their sexuality. But the church has come under attack for offering this opportunity. Joining FRC President Tony Perkins is Pastor Jeremy Shawsow.
Pastor Jeremy, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Hey, I've watched several interviews that you've done. I watched your Facebook post from the church explaining what you were doing. And I thought you asked a very revealing question, which is really at the heart of this. And you asked this question: why is it okay to celebrate those who choose to come out as gay, but it's not okay to celebrate those questioning their sexuality when they choose heterosexuality? Let me ask you, have you gotten an answer to that question?
You know, yes, I have. And the answer overwhelmingly from the gay community is that they are born that way, and so there's no alternative. And so the assumption is that every single kid who is questioning their sexual identity is gay or should be gay or will end up gay. And I think that is crazy. As a matter of fact, you know, we have been told all the way through our lives that, 1% of the population lives inside of a homosexual relationship at one point or another, maybe 1%. Now, all of a sudden, surveys are coming out from all over the country where they're asking high schools or school districts or even statewide what percentage of kids are gay, trans, or lesbian, or non-binary. And some of these are as high as 30, 40%. This is crazy to think that 30% of the kids are gay all of a sudden in the last 5 years. That is just not true. It's just not true. And so these kids are questioning. They're struggling. And for us to provide a safe, loving, Christ-centered, biblically-minded environment for them to have a conversation, not condemnation, is so important. And yet they're screaming at us, saying that somehow we're ruining these kids. I just don't get it for the life of me.
Well, first off, let me go back to the point that if you're questioning, then you're homosexual. It is essentially what they're saying. And if you're born that way, why would you question it? And so there is a bit of illogical.
Sure.
It's illogical to even ask that question to have it. So it's like this big trap. If you have any doubt or question in your mind, well, then you're gay. You're bisexual. Yeah. We know that young people go through this into puberty. There's questions of sexuality because there's things happening in their bodies that they just have not been exposed to. And so what you were doing was simply saying, hey, this is so prevalent in our society. This discussion is happening on TV. It's happening in sitcoms. It's happening in our schools. As the church, we just want to provide biblical answers to the questions you might have. And if you want to come, you can come, and we're here for you. Is that an accurate description of what you are offering?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Our hope is that there will be free conversation where kids who are questioning their sexuality, a lot of them are looking at their friends and going, why are my friends all of a sudden gay? And they're honestly questioning. Just a few minutes before we went on the air here, I received a text message from one of the young ladies who's involved with this whole workshop that we've been putting on. And she said that we saved her life, literally, that she was suicide-minded before beginning the discussions with us. And she was just overwhelmed by the, quote, the peer pressure to be gay, to be a lesbian. And we provided her hope that she wasn't necessarily that she doesn't have to make any of these decisions when she's 13 years old. that she can slow her, this sexual thought down, and that just because you struggle or just because your friends say that you are doesn't make you gay. That's crazy. And literally just a few minutes ago, a note came in saying that I was suicide-minded and you, quote, saved my life.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Pastor Jeremy Chasso is my guest. Pastors right outside of Detroit, Michigan. Let me ask you this, Pastor Jeremy. The role of the church. I mean, there are those that want to keep the church bottled up within the four walls of the church, and they're okay if we sing a few songs and we do what we want to do, you know, an hour, hour and a half on Sunday mornings, but don't get involved in the community. And we have truth. The Bible is true, and it has application to all areas of our life. Should we not share mm-hmm. that with people who are struggling to find the truth?
Absolutely. Tony, this is amazing. Thousands of people have posted on our various social media just with vitriol saying that we have no right to have a discussion with our children. None. They say that you need to be a licensed therapist for this. I'm sorry. I didn't know in America that you had to have a license just to talk to your children. I will not stand for that. I want to encourage parents to be involved with their children, and if they choose to come to a like-minded place where the values are similar, to get help for those kinds of discussions, then they should be encouraged to do that.
I want to remind our listeners what this is about. This is about a church that has a long track record of working in their community that said, look, if you want to come have a conversation, you're struggling with your sexual identity, we'll walk you through what the Bible has to say. We'll answer your questions. As you've pointed out, it's not about holding people down, beating them in the head with the Bible. This is about answering their questions and their parents. This is important. You require their parents be there.
We require their parents to come to an intake interview, and if they want to be in the actual workshop, they are welcome to be. Or if their kids want them to be. We try to work that out during the intake process because it only works if the kids feel comfortable.
Right. But it's important to note here that what's happening in the public schools when it comes to our kids and their sexuality, the parents aren't told. In fact, oftentimes the parents are prohibited from finding out if their kids are using a different name or pronoun in the schools. Here you're saying is we want the parents to be informed. We want them to be a part of this because ultimately they're the ones that have the responsibility for raising these kids.
Yes. One parent just wrote me a letter from another state saying that her daughter went to California, got on Medicaid when she was a minor, and had a hysterectomy and a breast removal in the name of transgendering without the parents' permission, and she was 16 years old.
Quickly, Pastor Jeremy, before we run out of time, you've got a state representative that's calling on the Attorney General to investigate you.
Mm-hmm.
What's that about?
I have no idea. Apparently, this guy is against conversation. He's against parental rights to help influence your children. I just don't understand it because clearly there's no abuse. These people want to be here. We are a large church, right? Nobody would come to us if they felt we hated them. It would make no sense. Would you bring your teenage daughter to somebody who had hatred toward her? No way. You wouldn't do it.
And Pastor. Pastor Jeremy, we're up against a hard break. I want to thank you for joining us, but I also want to commend you for not backing down in the face of opposition to speak truth.
We're not going anywhere, Tony. I can tell you that we will love anybody who walks through our doors. We will not condemn anybody, but we will not back down from what Jesus tells us.
If you want to find out more about Pastor Chasso, head on over to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links. Also, I want to invite you to be a part of keeping Washington Watch on the air by going to TonyPerkins.com and making a tax-deductible contribution. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with a look at one school board who is looking to get Planned Parenthood out of their schools.
Gender reassignment surgery. Once rare and unusual, it is now becoming more and more common. This is because transgender activists are pushing for this costly, extreme, and unproven procedure to be declared medically necessary so that it can be paid for with taxpayer dollars. Yet even the federal government has stated that there is no evidence that gender reassignment surgery has improved health outcomes. To view FRC's full report on this important issue, visit frc.org/surgery.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, David Salkeld. A Cumberland County Board of Education committee voted last week to scrap a Planned Parenthood sex education program because of parent complaints. On Tuesday, that North Carolina school board ratified the committee's decision. Joining FRC's Tony Perkins is Craig Autry, pastor and co-founder of Cumberland Protect Our Students.
Craig, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much for having us tonight.
Well, Craig, walk us through this. How did this occur? How do we get to the point where parents got involved and now we have the school actually reversing and kicking this policy out, going back to the previously approved policy?
Yes, what happened here is Cumberland County, the board reviewed a curriculum recommendation for this Get Real Sex Education program, which is produced by Planned Parenthood. The pilot program was launched in 9 schools here in Cumberland County last year and was slated to go throughout the entire school system, our middle schoolers here in Cumberland County this year. I received a call from a local principal as well as some educators who had some concerns regarding the sexually explicit and age-inappropriate nature of the material. So as a parent, and parents need to realize that any curriculum that is taught in your school, you by law have a right to review that curriculum as well as handouts, videos, anything that's taught in that class. You as a parent have a legal right to be able to review that material that is being taught your children. So went to the school and met with the principal and of course, requested for that curriculum to be released to me. Of course, they had to provide that to me, as well as the teacher's notes. And I spent about 4 days reviewing both the 6th, 7th, and 8th grade material that would be presented to the children. And after that, you know, come up with a 7-page analysis of how this material was sexually explicit and age-inappropriate for our children. And from there, filed a grievance with the county regarding the curriculum, which, of course, suspended it for a matter of 60 days. And then after that, it has to go back to a committee review board to see if our concerns can be, you know, addressed before it's brought back to vote again.
Have other parents then kind of, as they were made aware of this, gotten involved in this process?
The whole nature of this has been very secretive in how it's been rolled out to the students here. And that is why it's so imperative for parents to be actively involved in your school, particularly middle school ages, where you know sex education is being taught. Mm-hmm. Once the parents had no clue. I would say.
Let me stop you right there. Let me stop you there, Craig. You said it was kind of secretive, kind of under the radar. So who was responsible for doing that?
Here in Cumberland County, the sex education program is administered by our health sciences group through our Cumberland County school system. The director there, of course, brought that in through 9 schools through a pilot program, and personally feel that it was probably rolled out in 9 schools where parental involvement was low so that in the second year it could go full blast without a hitch. And, mm-hmm. and unless, you know, educators had stood up and said, we're not teaching this, the parents would not even know of the sexually explicit material that was being presented to our children. And this stuff is mind-boggling. When you see the stuff they're trying to teach an 11-year-old child, it goes way beyond sex education. It is actually advancing early sexualization in 11-year-old children.
And, of course, it gets into the whole issue of transgenderism, homosexuality, and other aspects. When other parents found out about this, did you have difficulty in getting them involved?
Actually, parents were just furious that, first, that this would even be considered. We are the only school system in North Carolina that had adopted this material. It had already been thrown out of Onslow County, another school here, and is currently trying to be introduced into Wayne County. And, of course, all of these counties are military-based counties, meaning mm-hmm. that have a high population of military personnel, which is how Health and Human Services is dictating the federal monies that are going out to pay for these programs.
Amazing. You're also a pastor, Craig. You're a parent, you're a pastor, you've organized this group. You've touched on this, but what would you say to other parents that find this type of stuff in their school districts? What should they do?
Well, first, Tony, I believe that every parent, if you have a middle school child, you need to be reviewing the sex education material that is being taught in your local schools. Federally, there are about 37 approved sex education curriculums that a school system can choose, and many of them are not promoting abstinence. They are actually, in many ways, encouraging children to have safe sex. So every parent should be there saying, I want to see this material, I want to review this material, and they need to know what's being taught in their schools, and then take the right. Parents have the right to control when sexually explicit material is or is not introduced into their children, and they need to take that right.
Well, Craig, I want to thank you for standing up and being an example of that to other parents, and I absolutely agree with you 100%. Parents need to know what their kids are being taught, and when it is objectionable and inappropriate, they need to stand up and speak up. So, Craig Autry, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us, Stephen. Have a great day.
If you want to find out more about Pastor Autry or the school board's decision, just head on over to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links. Also, a quick reminder that your generous contributions to Family Research Council enable us to continue making these programs available, and you can donate when you visit TonyPerkins.com. We'll be back with a couple of women who are making waves on both coasts.
What does sex trafficking, abortion, and pornography have in common? Pornography fuels the sex trafficking industry. Each click of pornography creates a demand for more pornography and brings in a profit to the industry. The demand causes traffickers, pimps, and those involved in the sex industry to abuse their victims by filming them in sex acts. Victims of sex trafficking are often coerced into having abortions. To learn more about how you can help stop this triple threat, go to frc.org/traffic.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Public education is rarely being driven by local interests. On Monday of this week, FRC President Tony Perkins was joined by Fairfax County Public Schools board member Elizabeth Schultz and Capital Resource Institute President Karen England. Here's Tony Perkins.
Karen, I'm going to start with you first. What's happening? You know, last time we had you on, we were talking about Rockland, California, where in a kindergarten classroom, a teacher was reading two children's books advocating this whole thing of gender fluidity and I Am Jazz by the transgender reality TV star Jazz Jennings, and read a crown story about a blue crown that identifies as a red one. So this stuff is going on in California. What's the latest?
Well, the latest is the parents are continuing to fight back. The school, the charter school, has lost almost 100 kids just in the last few months. These families have left, but they are still fighting for other people's parental rights. And what has been happening is they did the transition ceremony. So they went beyond the book. In addition to reading the books, they had the little boy go into the restroom, change into a dress, come back out after they read one of the books, and introduced the little boy as his girl name and said he is a girl now. This was 2 days before graduation of kindergarten.
And did the parents know that this was going to happen in the classroom?
Not only did the parents not know, but when they were asking the school what happened, because their kindergartner, you know, is telling them stories, I had a pastor that said they thought their child was just talking about a play because they couldn't quite understand or grasp that the charter school would just do this. So he thought they were talking about this little boy dressing up. And it wasn't until months later and an open records request that we found out that they knew about it ahead of time. The administration knew the book was going to be read, and it was only months of pressuring the school. When the parents would call or send an email, they were told, we can't tell you what happened in the classroom because of privacy. That's what the parents were told.
But as parents, yourself, as you organized, you actually requested the records and you found out and were able to connect the dots to see what led to this event.
Absolutely. Able to connect the dots, including the request that the parent made about her child wanting to become a boy. The mother admits this may just be a phase he's going through. We don't know if he's going to want to remain a girl. She introduced it that way, and the school still felt the need to do this whole ceremony, read this book, and traumatize the other kids in knowing that this kid, this could be a phase. And there are several references mm-hmm. from other elected officials, school board members that talk about, oh, there's a 50% chance he'll change back, she'll change back. But they put all these kids through this.
Yeah, we know that's a phase that they go through. Elizabeth Schultz, many parents out there facing very similar situations, especially, and you've got these schools adopting these bathroom policies where boys can use girls' bathrooms and locker rooms and stuff. And parents are just saying, you know, what is going on? Parents are not helpless. I mean, you were a parent. You are a parent. But you were concerned about what was happening in your school district, and you did something about it.
Ironically, it was actually the Freedom of Information Act effort in a similar way, but on a totally different subject. The school board prior to the one that I was elected to had shut down my child's elementary school, and there was something that just didn't seem right, so members of the community submitted the Freedom of Information Act requests, and what we saw through those was the conduct of people who were elected to represent parents, to represent employees, and use the public's money for the public's benefit. And it was so appalling that I myself decided to run. In the time since then, all of this type of topic has emerged right. onto first the local scene in Fairfax and then explode nationally. And what you see is that you have the power as an individual parent, as an individual community member, if you don't like what you're seeing, you can bemoan your fate,
right.
or you can change the future. And becoming directly involved in harnessing that local power and bringing back a school district and bringing back a voice to say that parents' rights matter and parents' voices matter is significant enough to compel you to try to take back your school board.
But Elizabeth, isn't it the desire of many on the school board? And I know you're in the minority. You're a conservative on the school board in Fairfax County. Isn't the reality of they want parents to think they can't make a difference? Many see the parents as a nuisance and an obstacle to overcome.
Well, that just happened on our Family Life Education Committee. Actually, I wasn't there, but the reports come back that We have a committee that's creating family life education material, curriculum, and parents are very few and far between as a representation on that committee, and they actually expelled one of the parents and continued to create part of a curriculum, changing the term sex through the FLE curriculum to sex assigned at birth. So we're now not going to take scientific knowledge, we're not going to take objective reality, we're not going to take natural law as truth. We're going to allow a group of people who don't represent parents to create the curriculum, and where's the place for a parent's voice anymore? Mm-hmm. So even if they're not actively not including them, they're working behind the scenes in such a way as not to inform parents. And parents are busy, they're exhausted, right. they're running, you know, their lives, their children's lives, their work. And the ability to communicate out to parents, look, not only do you have to pay attention, there's probably some stuff going on that you wouldn't be very happy with if you actually knew.
And so, Karen, you actually, some of these things you got to do a little digging. Of course, some of it's just asking your kids questions. And as you ask kids questions, because as you pointed out earlier, they thought maybe this was a play. They don't get all the pieces. But if you see something, I guess to borrow something from the TSA, if you see something, say something. I mean, this is where we must speak up.
Well, absolutely. And they spent, you know, as the one parent that sort of started this, The school district was denying that a book was even read. And so were school board members denying that it even took place for 2 months in emails, in every communication with these parents. And then parents were going back and asking their kids. And this one diligent mom was keeping track of every family she went to, what every child said, what was consistent, inconsistent. And I will say, I am so impressed with moms and dads at the local school district level. In everywhere that I'm working, they have become paralegals. I mean, they are looking at the law and they are splitting work up and they're babysitting each other's kids. And, you know, do not mess with their kids, because right. they've taken this very seriously. They've moved their kids and now they are committed to making sure this doesn't happen to any other kindergarten class in the state of California.
And let me ask you both this question as we wrap up our time together. And I know both of you are Christians. You walk in humility. But by stepping into the void, your presence has made a difference. And one person can make a difference by being involved.
Oh, absolutely. Again, I was a homeschool mom, and just this last week, you know, I've got involved, and we've stopped the gender transgender movement in Clark County, the fifth largest school district in the nation. You know, we've pushed it back, and it's because we've gotten involved. And I want to encourage taxpayers to get involved too,
yeah.
And homeschool parents to get involved too, because these are our taxpayer dollars.
One person can make a difference.
One person. You can make a difference. You can treat people with Christian humility and understand that we need to respect where they're coming from. But if your voice isn't there, their voice will fill the void. And so if your voice is missing, somebody else's voice is going to raise your children.
Karen England, Elizabeth Schultz, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for asking
Thanks,
us.
Tony.
You can find out more about Karen and Elizabeth when you visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, while you're there, sign up for Tony's Washington Update. It's a daily email highlighting the important issues affecting your faith, family, and freedom. And if you find the weekend edition of Washington Watch informative and useful, we'd encourage you to tell your friends about Washington Watch. You can help us reach more people with this radio ministry by supporting our efforts and heading over to TonyPerkins.com and clicking on the donate button. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
The weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you've heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can help support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 866-372-7234.